Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor. Very pleased to be joined by Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator, longtime interim coach, head coach, you name it, has had such a successful career. He's now down with the Rams. And, you know, Wade, I guess the great part to start this off, Fag, is how far we go back. Because we go back into the 70s when I was a young reporter at the Pittsburgh Press. You were a defensive line coach, eventually going to become defensive coordinator. You were at the Houston Oilers back then. Your dad, Bum Phillips, was the head coach of the team. And there's so many great stories. And we'll get into the book that you have, Son of Bum, over the course of this interview. But honestly, when you look back at your career, what do you think has been some of the keys, the highlights, and some of the great experiences?
Well, most everywhere I've been, there's been some highlights, certainly. But, yeah, just starting out, you know, with the Oilers, and those days was exciting times. And we were young and having a great time doing what we were doing. But, you know, and it went all the way through Denver where, you know, we won a Super Bowl. And now I'm with the Rams, which, you know, is another big challenge for us. But we're excited about doing that.
I don't think people now can appreciate how good some of the battles in the 1970s were. And, of course, I covered so many of the Oilers-Steeler games. You know, the Steelers were the team that ended up in the Super Bowl. But probably one of their toughest battles every year was the games against the Oilers because they were physical, they were well-played, they were well-coached. What can you relay as far as how those games were with the Oilers?
Well, you know, we split every year with Pittsburgh. But they won the Super Bowl. They won. So we split during the regular season. And of course, they won the AFC Championship game twice against us in Pittsburgh. And, you know, and they won 4 out of 6 Super Bowls. So they were. But actually, it was a friendly rivalry. You know, the first year they went, we had to beat Cincinnati in the last game of the year to get Pittsburgh in the playoffs. So we beat Cincinnati, and the Steelers were doing a Samsonite commercial on TV, and they sent us all Samsonite briefcases and stuff after we beat Cincinnati. So it became a friendly rivalry, but it was a dog eat dog rivalry, that's for sure. I mean, and then the last year we were there, we actually knocked Pittsburgh out of the playoffs, beat them 6-0 in Houston. So you know, you don't have many 6-0 games anymore.
Were those Oilers-Steeler games the most physical, well-played? You know, of course, the hitting was all legal, everything else, but were they the most physical games you've ever been involved with?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I you know, they had so many great players, obviously Hall of Fame players. But we had some really good teams, and defensively we were strong too. So, you know, and the two big, well, Rocky Blyer was tough, but I mean, the two big backs having Earl Campbell and Franco Harris. I mean, you know, you don't get more physical than those two guys.
And the great part is, I mean, you had Hall of Famers on that Oilers team too. I mean, and some great ones.
Oh yeah. Curly Culp and Elvin Bethea both were, I was coaching the defensive line there, like you said, and two of my three guys were Curly Culp and Elvin Bethea, who were both in the Hall of Fame. So at the time, I thought I was a really heck of a good coach, but turns out I had really good players. So I thought everything was easy coaching then, because anything you told them to do, they could do. So, it was a great start for me in the coaching, to coach guys that were Hall of Famers.
Speaking of Hall of Famers, I know that a couple stories just came out this week. One story in particular, kind of rating some of the great defenses of all time, and that 91 Philadelphia Eagle defense turned out, at least according to some ratings, to be one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, they had some. Reggie and Jerome and Clyde Simmons and some guy named Mike Golick was in there. I don't know who he is. I don't know whatever happened to him. And then we had some really good, of course, you know, the first or second year there, I was at Philadelphia and we had the strike, 87, I guess. And, we only played 12 games and Reggie White had 21 sacks, set the record that for a long time, but we only played 12 games. So, that was a great bunch there.
I mean, you've been so fortunate.
That Denver group we had, a couple of years ago was pretty fantastic for modern football.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a great part. I mean, you've been able to be around and develop some of the greatest defensive players in the NFL that are in the Hall of Fame or maybe heading to the Hall of Fame. What guys really impressed you the most through the years?
Well, like I said, I mean, Curley and Elvin both, were great, great players and obviously were good enough to be in the Hall of Fame. And then we went to New Orleans and we drafted a kid out of the University of Pittsburgh in the second round. And played linebacker named Ricky Jackson. It turned out to be a pretty good player too. And then of course I went to Philadelphia and we had Reggie White, Clyde Simmons, but Reggie was, just fantastic. And then I've been lucky to be, on down the line, Bruce Smith with Buffalo. So I think he's still the all time sack leader. I'm sure he is. And, just lately, DeMarcus Ware, Vaughn Miller, J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald with Rams, I think it's going to be a really great one too. So I've been lucky to be with a lot of really great players.
But some of that, I think, has been your eyes and being able to point out some of those players too. Like when you were drafting J.J. Watt, because I think that was on your recommendation, or at least you highly endorsed it. And from the first game, because I remember being at J.J.'s first game, you could see this guy was just going to be great.
Yeah, that first year, you could tell how good he was. And then actually the last part of the season, he was just fantastic. And in the playoffs, I think everybody that saw it remembered against Cincinnati, plucked the ball out of the air, right out of the quarterback's hands, almost throwing a pass and intercepted, ran for a touchdown. You knew he was going to be, he did something that nobody else you'd ever seen do. So that's the kind of player he is.
Is there some vision or something, because you seem to have such an ability to recognize great players, particularly those on the defensive line or linebacker. What is it that you look for when you're looking for a player?
It's a hard thing to do. I mean, obviously every year, first round picks don't turn out, probably only 50% of them end up even playing a lot. So, it's a hard process. I think, watching them over the years, you can't measure heart. And I think, one of the things I think if you draft smart guys, they get better. Smart players get better. So, that's usually those guys, all of those guys, I think are real smart football players. But other than that, I think it's like a shooting gallery. I mean, you just take a shot and hope you get the right one, because it isn't high weight and speed or you could pick, everybody could pick them. So there's got to be more to it. And most of it's what we call intangibles, but those things seem to be tangible enough for them to be great players.
What got you to write the book, Son of Bum?
I just want, we won a Super Bowl. Coob at the end of the ball game, when we had it won, he kind of put his hand on top of my head and said, "Your dad would really be proud." And, man, that sent chills through me. And after the game and stuff, they said, "Well, you ought to write a book." And the NFL films and stuff and everything was really well documented with that team and so forth. So I wanted to, not everybody remembers my dad now, I wanted to do something that for his remembrance of him and what he taught me, because they were talking about what a great coach I was, or, great things I did, but, it comes from the family or somebody influenced you. And of course, certainly my dad influenced me as a son, but also as a coach. So I just wanted to, I felt like doing that.
Do you have an adjustable rate mortgage that is about to increase? or first and second mortgage that you would like to combine into one. Low mortgage payment? Hey, give Keel Mortgage a call today. They are local, friendly, and have been serving families up and down the West Coast for over three decades. With interest rates forecasted to rise, the best time to explore your options is now. It starts with a phone call to 1-888-778-KIEL or online at keelmortgage.com. That's Keel Mortgage, 888-778-KIEL. They can help. CL53969. I know the one thing, because, I mean, aside from the fact that Bum Phillips was one of the most personable, fun coaches maybe in NFL history, his defensive scheme and the things that he did to get the best out of players was unique and well ahead of its times. What were the things that he did so well that maybe people don't recognize now?
Well, he's a great motivator, you know. People like him, players like him, but they wanted to play for him, you know, and he got them to play, I think, better than they could play or would have played by just motivating them to you know, do well, practice hard, you know, not just playing the game, but I think getting ready to play was probably as good as it was. Getting them, you know, to realize that they could do things better or work harder or do something better than what they had been doing. And he had a knack for getting people to do that.
What scheme wise? Because the one thing that was so great about him, he you know, even though there was a lot of 3-4 defense, but he had, like you, the ability to one gap shoot through. What was the uniqueness of the things that he had scheme wise that was so good?
Well, he wanted to play the 3-4. When he got in coaching in pro football, he actually, with the Chargers, they played it one game. He said, and Sid Gilman told him, this is a 4-3 league and we can't play that. So they went back to the 4-3. But when that's when he's with the Chargers. But when he got with Sid with the Oilers, he said, I'd like to play the 3-4. Sid said, okay. And so we were the first team to play 3-4 defense full time in the NFL. You know, he was really, really brought that into the NFL. Kansas City played what they call a tackle stack, and it was a similar, but it wasn't. And then Miami played, they played a 3-4 on third down some. And I think they called it 53 or something like that. But anyway, they did that. But we were the first ones to run it full time. So that was really the innovative thing, is, you know. And now probably half the teams run 3-4. At one time, 3/4 of the teams were running 3-4. So it's been a strong force in the NFL for a long time. But he started it.
One of the things that I like that you are always able to do is that you can adjust your 3-4 to the talents that's there. If you have a big nose tackle, you can do that. If you have a smaller one, then you can do a lot of stunting and things of that nature. But the big thing is, I mean, your 3-4s and your dad's 3-4s were all set up for guys to penetrate, make plays, get to the quarterback.
Yeah, we've been through the years, I think every team I've been with has been in the top 5 in sacks. So, you know, and that's the name of the pro game. I mean, you have to be able to rush the passer, and you know, you have to do a lot of things well. But I think rushing the passer is key to helping play really good pass defense. And we've always been able to do that because you can bring, you know, you got three guys with their hand down. We don't play a 2-gap defense, so we can penetrate with those guys, and then the fourth guys. You know, in a 4-3, four guys are rushing most of the time. Well, in a 3-4, four guys are rushing, but you don't know which one's coming besides the three with the hand on the ground. So I think that gives you a little advantage.
One thing that you've always been able to do is when you take over a new defense, the production shoots to the sky. I mean, you can take a defense that is maybe one of the worst, and within a year it's one of the top five or so. Which team transitions did you kind of respect the most through the years?
Well, you know, we went to New Orleans, and it was my first time to be a coordinator, and they were last in almost every category. They did one game the previous year. And we went to 11th the first year. I thought we did a heck of a job. I thought we did a heck of a job there. You know, now, stat-wise, Houston, when I went to Houston, they were 30th in the league, and we went to second. So that was, I think that's the all-time best ever. So, you know, but it's a little easier nowadays because you can change personnel. You know, you can get free agents and so forth and kind of fill in, whereas, you know, when we went to the Saints, we had the same players they had the year before. They were last in every category. So I'm not sure we didn't do a better job there than anywhere I've been. But we, you know, San Diego, to me, it comes down to wins, too. I mean, San Diego, when we went to San Diego, they had the first pick in the draft, and they were 4-12 with Marty Schottenheimer the year before. And we went 12-4 and won the division. So, you know, we won 8 more games than they did the previous year. So, the defense wasn't one of the top 10, but it was, we got a lot of turnovers. And I thought we really, you know, helped the team get better. So, most of the time you look at stats, but I think most of the time it's wins. You know, win more games than you did before. That's what you're looking for.
And, of course, that Denver Bronco team that won the Super Bowl, Gary Kubiak as a coach, you as a defensive coordinator, had to be one of your proudest accomplishments because that defense historically goes down as one of the best ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially since, you know, the playoffs, we played Roethlisberger and Brady and Cam and basically shut all those guys down. They had, I believe, on third down, they totaled 16%. On third down, all three of them. So, I mean, it was quite a run. We had a great regular season. We're number one league in defense. But to play those guys in the playoffs and do as well as we did was pretty neat accomplishment.
What do you now take over with the Rams? How good can this defense be?
You know, I think we're going to be pretty good. Like I say, we added a few guys. From what they had before, stat-wise, they weren't. I think they were 9th in the league, although they were 24th in scoring defense. Which, you know, that's to me. I mean, the scoring is obviously the most important thing in the game. People say turnovers, but you know, if you give up the least points in any game, you're going to win. So, I think we can improve in that area. I think we're going to have a really strong front seven. And I think our secondary is going to be a lot better than people thought they would be. They weren't that great secondary-wise, but I think we're going to be pretty good in that area, too. So, I mean, I'm always optimistic, you know. But I think we'll have a pretty strong defense.
What's the plan for Aaron Donald?
Well, you know, we've played, you know, Aaron's a great three-technique defensive tackle, and since San Diego, we've utilized a three technique in our 3-4. So he fits right in. I mean, we really didn't want to put him in a position that, take away from what he's done, what he's been tremendously good at. And they actually fit in with what we were doing anyway. So, you know, may flip sides with him like he did, you know, like he did in the 4-3, but, again, try to utilize what he does well. Although I think we can stunt him some and put him, you know, match him, get some good matchups with him against certain people because he can rush inside or outside. So we're going to move him around some, but just because he's such a great player, you want to get a good matchup.
What's the best way for everybody to get Son of Bum?
Well, you can get it. I think Barnes & Noble, I know Target, and of course, Amazon, you can get it the next day, I think. So any of those places should have it. If they don't, they might have run out, but they can get some more.
Well, and the great part is that you have the you tweet so much that all you have to do is just kind of follow you on Twitter, and I'm sure that you can find a way to get to the book.
That's right. Yeah, it's on there somewhere.
Hey, Wade, I thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you as the season goes on.
Thanks, John. You're the greatest, man.